Welcome to The Not So Simple Life. Meet your hosts, Kylie Vanami and Sophie Longford. These two fashion models are talking all things wellness, beauty, fashion, and all the not so simple things in between. Let's get into it.
Hello, you guys. We are so happy that you tuned into today's episode with our very special guest, Mimi Bouchard. She's going to be sharing some of the most amazing tips about how to become the best version of you and manifest your dream life.
She's literally like the queen of meditation. Mm-hmm. She has an app called Superhuman. Her meditation is the Mimi Method, and she's also a fellow podcaster, which we love. This episode is just basically going to help us all take one step closer to reaching, you know, our ultimate potential that we all can reach. And we know you guys are just going to go crazy for this one. We loved recording it, and we cannot wait for you guys to hear this episode.
Yeah, she is absolutely incredible. You guys are going to be moved when you hear her talking about how powerful her meditations are. So you guys are definitely going to want to download her app. But she also was on this really popular show back in the UK called Made in Chelsea. Have you heard of it?
No, it's a UK show.
Yeah, it's very big in the UK. It's like all about people who live in Chelsea. It's very posh, but I loved it. I used to watch it all the time. So it's pretty cool that she was on there. But I think that was quite a few years ago, and she's like a completely different person now. And now she's like super into health and wellness and like all things that just make her like a better version of her.
Yeah, I love that she created a platform by being on a show and then turned that platform into something positive. And she's now helping people. And one topic that she dived into in this episode that resonated with me so much, and I know it will with all of you too, is talking about that time in her life before she's reached this success where she was just hustling. And she looks back on that girl and she's so proud of that girl. And like that time was so important for her. She talks about in another podcast that I've listened to before, she used to work at a juice shop and she had another job at night just so she could, you know, support what she really wanted to do. And I did that as well. I worked at Aldo, the shoe store in New York City when I first moved here because modeling wasn't paying the bills and I needed a little extra income while I was in school and before modeling took off. And, you know, you look back on that girl and you're proud of her, and those jobs were important and really shape your character and like help push you towards a better self in the future. And I just loved everything we touched on today.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, I remember many years ago when I was thinking modeling wasn't going to work out for me and I was just not in a good place. I was like, damn, I'm going to have to go and get like a typical 9-to-5 job. I went for a job interview at a tanning salon, and on my like trial day, I just spent like an hour cleaning sunbeds and I was like, this is not the life I want. And I left and I never looked back, and I went for my dream and I moved to New York City and I made it work for me. That was a really eye-opening experience. I saw what I wanted for myself and I was like, I'm not going to fall into that trap and live a life that I don't want. You know what I mean?
Yep. And in this episode, guys, she's going to give you all of those steps that I think we all need to hear and be reminded of that will help you reach your potential, reach your dreams, find your goals, and go after them. So we can hype this episode up all day for you guys. But I think the best thing we should do here is just get started. So without further ado, Mimi Bouchard. All right, everyone. We are joined today by Mimi Bouchard. Mimi, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me on. I'm so excited for this conversation.
Do you want to start this off by introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about your journey and how you started on reality TV and then eventually found your specialty in personal growth and meditation?
Yeah, absolutely. I was born and raised in Toronto, Canada. When I was 18, I decided to leave university on a whim and moved to London to pursue my fashion blog / online magazine passion. And when I was there, you know, I networked like crazy. I really just tried to meet as many people as possible and, you know, grow my career there. And I went on this TV show for a couple of years. That was so long ago. And it was a very interesting experience. And then I tried many different businesses after that. And the one thing that really stuck was doing work in personal development, because I went through a massive transformation myself over the past 6-7 years. And I wanted to do something in this space because I was so interested in personal development. And, you know, just at the time, it wasn't even meditation. It was just becoming your best self. I was reading, you know, 5 books a month on personal growth. I was, you know, just constantly doing these courses and researching. I was just becoming obsessed with becoming the person that I've always known I could be. And I never really in my teenage years had that power to realize that, you know, I could do this. And it was really just rediscovering myself and finding myself. So when I was in London for 5 years, I started, you know, creating these like voice memos on my phone that I would re-listen to in the morning. And they were kind of like pep talks to myself because I had a whole morning routine and, you know, I had everything going on for myself when it comes to the tools and everything that you use for personal growth, but I was still finding myself, you know, just like being a brick wall sometimes with my growth. So I started to record these like little pep talks to myself. And then I was like, okay, I listened to these for like 20 minutes in the morning. I might as well just record them on my podcast microphone, because at the time I had a podcast and I still do, and add some music behind it just so it's kind of like a fun motivational thing with music and it's just easy to listen to. So I was literally listening to these every morning and it was really changing my life. And, you know, fast forward a couple of years and I left London, my boyfriend and I, we decided to move to Vancouver for a few months. And then we went to the Bahamas shortly after. We decided we didn't want to live there. This is kind of when the pandemic started. And I was thinking, okay, you know, I have a bit of an Instagram following. I've been making my money as of lately with, you know, sponsorships. And I felt like I wanted a different avenue. I didn't really want to rely on sponsors. It wasn't something that I felt safety in. And I also just didn't really enjoy it that much. So I decided to create my own subscription platform. So it was like workouts and recipe videos. And then I was like, oh, you know what? I kind of record my own meditations for myself sometimes, and that evolved from the pep talks I was recording for myself. I might as well just create some of those for the app for my subscription platform, because who knows, it might help someone. So after 2-3 months of launching this platform, it used to be called Mimi Method, I like saw the numbers and the stats on the videos on that platform, and everyone was just obsessed with these meditations. And I had them at the bottom. I didn't think anyone would use them, but they started becoming really popular. And I think it's because there's nothing like them. Like, they're so unique. And, you know, recipe videos and workouts, like, you can find that on YouTube easily. But meditations were unlike anything anyone's ever done before, because they were like motivational meditations that weren't very spiritual. They were really powerful in helping you change your brain to a change your life, because we all know that transformation happens when you change your self-image, when you change your self-talk, and these are really powerful. So I ended up slowly transitioning the platform to just meditations. And then I started integrating, you know, very unique, different types of meditations that haven't really been done before, like running meditations, cooking meditations, walking meditations. And it's just so that you can feel like your best self in every moment of your day. Because I was noticing that I didn't want to sit down in the morning and, well, I did want to sit down in the morning and meditate, but when I would open my eyes, I would still feel like the old self. So I was like, how do I get into this state that I love so much, but throughout the entire day when I'm actually doing things? And that's when I realized that the best way to do that is to create meditations that kind of get you into that state while you're doing other things. So long story short, that's how my business evolved. But yeah, it really started with an online magazine talking about health and wellness and, you know, relationships. And then it really pulled into me trying many different businesses, it not really like clicking. And then this really clicked. And then I relaunched that Mimi Method meditation app to Superhuman about 2 months ago, which is a completely new name, new brand, new app. It's like a luxury meditation app, and it's changed thousands of lives already. So that's kind of my passion. And that's why I'm here.
Wow. I love hearing the journey and how growth takes time, and just little baby steps and trying different things can often catapult you to where you want to be. And someday it just clicks. And I think it's so inspiring for people to hear that. But I want to have you tell us and tell anyone who's listening to this episode right now, who may not be a fan of meditation or hasn't tried it yet and is on the fence, why do you think implementing this tool into your daily life is so beneficial? And like, what changes can someone who doesn't meditate expect to see once they start meditating?
Oh, that's a great question. The answer is everything. the truth is all of us can create the life of our dreams. And I don't know why some people just don't believe that, but it's the truth. And if you want to change your life, you need to change the way you think. And the way to change that is through doing this work. All of us are so distracted all the time on our phones. Like, listen, even myself, I'm definitely a victim of that as well. You know, we're so addicted to technology and scrolling and numbing. And the less you numb, the more you feel alive. So I try every day to weave in this meditation. I don't, you know, at the end of the day, I almost don't even want to call my work meditation. When we were doing the big rebrand, my marketing team and I, we were for a really long time debating not even putting the word meditation in there because they're so unlike any other meditations out there. And I don't know if you guys have tried them, but they're just different. They're not like the calm headspace meditations. They're, you know, set to cool, amazing, energizing music, powerful affirmations. They make you feel energized and motivated, powerful. And of course, they can relax too if you want, but they're not designed to just calm you down. You know, they're designed to help you just excel in life. So my tip for someone that hasn't meditated before or someone that's tried and doesn't like it, I just, you know, I want to tell you, first of all, that I actually used to say, I'm just not the kind of person that can meditate. My brain works too quickly. It makes me more stressed sitting down and thinking of nothing. I hate it. So my meditations, the reason I created them is because you don't have to think of nothing. You just need to visualize what you want and embody the feeling, the energy of what you want. And you'll notice that your life is going to start changing really quickly. So I would say just try it. And my theory in life is just to try everything. As I was kind of just explaining, I've tried a lot in my young life, and it's brought me to where I am today. And I honestly blame that on my success that I have today, because I'm willing to try it all and try anything and not stop until I find what works. So, you know, even if my meditations don't work for you, which I highly doubt because most people really like them, just try it. And then you can try other meditations, try other, you know, personal development tools, and just better yourself, become obsessed with learning, evolving, with growing. And you won't live a conventional life if you do that. My biggest fear in life is living an average life. And it sucks to say that, because today's average is unhappy, overweight, you know, like depressed, anxiety, not living your dream. And I don't want that. I don't want anything to do with that. So that's my why. And I think anyone listening can also create an epic life for themselves.
I agree with that 100%. Well, like you said, your meditations are very different to the conventional types of meditations that most people probably think of. So can you walk us through like how you meditate and what the process actually looks like in detail?
Yeah, for sure. So I have, I think, about 12 categories of meditations on my app right now. So there are meditations for any time of the day, but what I do and what a lot of members do, one seated meditation in the morning. And then to kind of get back into that state that you harness in your morning meditation, even if it's just a 5-minute morning meditation, just to get yourself back into the state throughout the day, I'll put on like a walking meditation. If I'm walking to the park or walking on my afternoon walk, I'll put on a cooking meditation when I'm cooking dinner. So I just remind myself consistently of how I want to feel. And I'm also teaching my brain and body how to feel while doing certain everyday mundane activities. This is the coolest part about the whole concept that I've created. We've had scientists and researchers back this. You changing while doing everyday activities, you changing your mind, you think how you feel while doing what you do every single day that you just into that kind of default zone, usually while you're doing, you feeling different while doing that will actually prime your brain to feel different next time, even if you're not doing the meditation. For example, just to kind of make that more clear, I don't know if you guys have heard of the Pavlov dog theory.
Yes, the saliva.
Yeah, exactly. So there's, you know, this guy, he did an experiment where he would condition his dogs with a bell. So he would ring a bell and feed the dogs. And the more he did that, he conditioned the dogs, right? And then he would start to ring the bell and the dogs would salivate before the food even came. So that's just a prime example of how, you know, how you can condition yourself to think differently. Your body can react differently and feel differently when you hear a trigger, a bell. So If you did a walking meditation every single day on your way to work and you taught yourself how to feel unlimited, powerful, energized, confident every single day on that walk, soon enough, you don't even need to listen to that walking meditation to feel that way every morning at that time walking to work. So there's so much science weaved into what I do, and I'm passionate about it. I think my meditations, I didn't want them to be super spiritual. Because even though I am a spiritual person, like I'm more of like a pragmatic, actionable, motivational, like that's the work that I enjoy most. And there's so much spirituality meditation out there. And that's really what the word to so many people, you know, what that the connotation is. But I'm trying to give a platform to people that don't feel necessarily spiritual, that want to change their lives and feel really motivated and just very high energy after doing a meditation. So I'm passionate about it because there's nothing else like it out there. And I hear success stories every day from my members just being like, oh my God, like this has changed my life. I even have something called the chill-in meditations on my app that you can just listen to while you're working, while you're getting ready in the morning, like just in the background. And like, you wouldn't even think it, but those affirmations that happen once every 45 seconds in those chill-in meditations literally change your brain subconsciously. So you just notice that you feel better in your life and you're not even changing something drastically. It's just, It's crazy. So I'm very, as you can tell, passionate about it because it's just, it's amazing to see what the results are.
I love the passion so much. It's so important to be passionate about what you're doing. And I know that meditation and manifestation go hand in hand and definitely play off of one another. And I was hoping you could share how you manifested your dream life and what steps you feel like are so necessary for anyone to take when they're manifesting anything in life, whatever it is that they're looking for.
For sure. And I will start by saying that, like, anyone listening that doesn't resonate with the word manifestation, like, it doesn't need to be super spiritual. It's just a fact. You manifesting your dream life is the same thing as you creating your dream life. Manifesting is essentially just creating. And I just wanted to say that because so many people say, oh, manifestation, they just don't take me seriously if you say that word. But it's like, no, it's actually the truth. Like, you create your life, whether you like it or not, right? So if you have negative thoughts all day long and you have a negative self-image, you're manifesting your life that you currently have. And if you're not happy and if you're not wealthy and abundant and, you know, just feeling like the ultimate you, then that's obviously a manifestation from what you've been thinking and acting and feeling. So the way I created, manifested my dream life, which I'm happy to scream from the rooftops because I wanted this life for so freaking long and I was not born into money and I was not, you know, I didn't get any of this easily. I worked my butt off and I took so many risks in my life that have helped me get to where I am. And I won't say that I sat down and visualize what I wanted without any work. It doesn't work that way. A lot of people think the law of attraction manifestation is just by sitting and thinking about what you want. You need to become the kind of person who has what you want. And that's what my meditations teach, right? So you need to change your self-image so dramatically so that it's aligned with what you want. So if you see yourself as the kind of person that makes X amount a year, that has this beautiful, passionate relationship, that gives back, that is just so abundant and energized every day and feels healthy. If you just embody that version of you, just wait, because it's going to happen. So the way that I created my dream life, and just kind of give some background, in every area of life, I felt I was lacking. When it comes to finances and money, I was super broke. Like, when I first moved to London, I was very, very stressed because I was 18, 19 years old, and I was working 3 jobs and couldn't make ends meet. I was, you know, really, really struggling. My parents weren't giving me any money because they didn't have much, and bless them. But I'm actually so happy looking back that I wasn't, you know, given money by them, because it taught me a lot about myself and my work ethic. So, you know, you just got to keep going and pushing, and you look back one day in those moments of true, true hustle, you're going to look back and just be so thankful for that old version of yourself, because it's the most beautiful thing in the world to think about that version of you. I'm so thankful for that version of me. And you know, it's just a beautiful relationship that you'll have with like every past version of you when you get there. But going back to the point, so with money, with relationships, I didn't have my first boyfriend till I was 21. And I always felt, you know, I always got ghosted by guys, or like, you know, I had bad luck with guys, and I didn't feel comfortable because I could never get in a relationship with someone I really, really liked. And I must say that I definitely think I manifested my current boyfriend, who I've been with for 4 years, and he's definitely the one. So, you know, that I created for myself. So money, relationships, and also relationships with family, my sister, like I've never been closer with the people I love. And then my career and my passion, I've always felt just the unknown, like, what do I want? I never knew what I wanted. I kind of knew what I wanted, so I was just heading that direction, but I never felt crystal clear. And I've created that for myself. I know exactly what I want and where I'm headed, and I'm making it happen. So that's kind of my resume when it comes to why I'm qualified for the job, because I've created it all for myself. But how I did that, I was relentless with doing the work. I stopped going out and drinking because that was something that really held me back in my early 20s when I was in London. It was really, you know, a scene that I didn't necessarily feel like I thrived in, drinking and partying and doing drugs. Like I did that a lot when I was there, and maybe it's because I grew up in a big city, had a lot of influence around me, but it lowers your vibration. It makes you very depressed, actually, like the next day. It's not positive. Still drink once a month. I'll have a couple glasses of wine or something, but it's really just, that's not my life anymore. I've completely revamped my lifestyle, and I could go on and on, but you know, it's just a lifestyle change. You can't just change one tiny thing and expect a massive change to happen. You know, that quote, like nothing changes if nothing changes, right? It's mm-hmm. just a matter of fact. And I also think one of the biggest thought evolutions that I had after reading this amazing book that I actually have here, because I just bought a new copy. This is like the first personal development book that I read, and it's called The Success Principles by Jack Canfield. I read this in my dorm room in uni when I was like 18 years old or 17 years old, and it changed my life because it was just like a very easy to read, pragmatic approach to personal development. And the first chapter changed my life, and that thought and that principle and that first chapter is take 100% responsibility for your life. I was always a victim when I was unhappy, unhealthy. That's another thing that I manifested. I used to be 20 pounds heavier, unhealthy, didn't feel good in my body. You know, taking responsibility instead of being a victim is something a lot of people have trouble processing, because we live in a society where you're told you're a victim, but you're not. Mm-hmm. And you can create your life. And it's the most empowering principle in the world. So I've just been rambling for so long. I'll let you guys talk.
I love it. You're saying such good stuff. I agree with everything you're saying. And that's the thing, like people think of manifestations and maybe they've tried it, but all they've done is sit at home and they've put something out there and they've said it and they're like, oh, well, it didn't come true. And they think that sitting around and waiting for it to happen is going to make the difference, but they got to actually go out there and try to make it happen for themselves. It's not just going to happen from sitting at home watching TV. People don't realize they got to put in the work to get results. And I think you just explained that very well. But all of us here are in our early 20s, and a large portion of our listeners are also in their 20s. And the 20s can be very complicated and very stressful time, because no one really knows where their life is going, and they're just trying to figure out who they are and what they want. So when you are trying to achieve growth, how can we just simply stay out of our own way and like not sabotage the process of becoming a better future self?
That's such a good question. I want everyone to know that it's never a perfect journey. I don't think I've had one perfect day. I haven't. Mm-hmm. And the old Mimi used to self-sabotage a lot. She used to think if it wasn't perfect, it didn't count. I was so hard on myself for a really long time, up until like a year ago, honestly. And I've realized this past year that it doesn't do anything for you to be super hard on yourself. Just knowing that perfection is not the goal. It's not, it's just continually trying to be better than you were yesterday and being there for yourself and knowing when you need a certain thing. Like for example, if you've been planning a really big work day and you know, you're trying to get all these things done, but deep down, you know, you just need to take like an hour to just be by yourself, not your phone, you know, just reading a book and just having some tea and just being there for yourself. And you can just do everything afterwards, like just giving yourself a bit of time when you need it and being your own best friend and giving yourself that love. I think that's been a big game changer for me. And I actually have seen more growth in every area of my life since I've taken the resistance down a little bit. I've just let it flow a little bit more. So reminding yourself every morning of what you want. That's a really big one. I don't go one morning without a morning routine, even if it's a 10-minute one. I put pen to paper. I actually sit in this very seat every single morning at my desk and I write. Like, I'll literally have my journal here. I write every morning at least half a page and whatever's on my mind. I just let whatever is on my mind flow out of me. If I'm feeling anxious and stressed that morning, I'll write about it. I'll try to convince myself that I'm actually all good. So I've been doing for years, like 5-6 years, actually writing every morning. And it has changed my life. It's those micro habits every day that just create a very different life for yourself 5 years down the line. And yeah, writing pen to paper every morning. Sometimes if I'm feeling like I don't want to think, I'll put like a writing meditation on, which I also have on Superhuman, which is essentially like, you know, really nice music that journal prompts that I'll read out and give you time to answer. So those are nice as well. But honestly, most of the time I just write by myself and try to stay away from my phone in the morning. So I'm not distracted and just write what I want and remind myself of my goals, of my why. You could have a vision board type of goal in front of you as well in your morning routine, where you remind yourself of what you want, why you want it. And that will also help you not self-sabotage as much because you're reminded of what you want, right? Like, if you just never remind yourself of your why and what you want, you're going to go back to old limiting habits and behaviors. You just need to consistently remind yourself. It has to be in your face at all times. Make it your phone background, you know, just make it your whole life. You can't change your life unless you're willing to change everything. Like, you got to change your lifestyle. You got to have reminders everywhere. Make it this, you know, big project that you're working on yourself, and things will change. You can't half-ass it though. It won't work.
So when trying to head towards growth and to change different aspects of your life, you mentioned you manifested your boyfriend, you manifested this new life. I've heard you speak about how you manifested your dream body. Do you feel like we need to compartmentalize when trying to work on all of those things, or can we kind of go at it all at once and anything we want to change, whether it's 2 things in our life or 10 things in our life, can we do it all at once, or is it better to just do 1 thing at a time?
That's such a good question. I'll tell you what's worked for me, because I will say different people, different things might work. I know I work in a certain way, but I've seen it done both ways. So for me personally, I like doing everything at once. And then some months I'll have focuses, but I've noticed that if I just do the consistent work, even if I'm focusing on one area, like let's say health and body, other areas will also be rising with me, because you can't really do this manifestation, creation, energetic work and, you know, putting it out there that you want certain things by writing it down every day, taking inspired action, changing your self-image and just targeting one thing, which is it's just good news, right? Because you want to reap the rewards from your efforts for every area of your life. So I would say for me, it's worked kind of all at once. Certain months, certain seasons of life, one thing will shine a bit more, but it's happened all at once. You can't really, you know, wake up early, work out, meditate, you know, do your journaling, take inspired action, work on changing your self-image, your inner child wounds, and just expect to get a better body. Like, that's going to make you have better health, better body, better relationships, more money, because you're going to be working more. You're going to be in that state of coming up with new ideas. You know, everything in your life is going to improve. That's my take, but some people might think differently.
Yeah. Like you said, your body did not used to be like how it is now, and you've done a lot of work to get to where you are today. So what habits did you break to like get to where you are today and manifest your dream body? Where did you start and how did your lifestyle change around that?
Yeah, it's again, an amazing question, because so many people struggle with this. Like, if 5 years ago, the Mimi heard me right now, what I'm about to explain, she would not believe that I'm at this point. I used to overeat. Binging was a huge stress reliever for me, an addiction. I remember my whole teenage years, like honestly, the time I was 13 years old till I was 23, probably, or 22, I thought about food all day long. I was obsessed with being skinny, but then also overeating. And I was constantly thinking about food, and I had disordered eating in that way. And it was not healthy. When I was younger, in my teenage years, I was, you know, throwing up as well. So I was binging and purging, and I kind of dropped that, thankfully, around the age of 20, I would say. But, you know, it was a really bad low point in my life. And I need to share that time because so many people have similar experiences. And, you know, I would go on these crazy diets where like you barely eat anything, and then I would binge. And it was just this constant cycle trying to find the next new diet, like, you know, just a constant cycle that I just felt drained from. So I would envy the girls that would say, oh yeah, I effortlessly look the way I do. I just don't think about food. I would envy them. I'd be like, you're lying. How do you do that? Like, it was just an obsession, and it was embarrassing. Like, I'm like almost ashamed, embarrassed to say that that was my life for so long, because I wasted so many years being obsessed with something that just doesn't matter, you know? Mm-hmm. So long story short, it's funny because the moment I stopped like those weird intense diets and binging and purging and thinking about food, the better I felt in my body. I think a huge game changer was also not going out as much. Because when I was in my early 20s, I was going out so much and partying, and I looked like unhealthy and like overweight. Like, I just didn't look and feel good. And I think going out and partying and drinking just really was something negative for me. But the biggest changes happened when I changed my old addiction to overeating. And I can tell you exactly how I did that. And I know I've been preaching meditation this entire time, and I think it was an accumulation of many things, including meditation. But the number one thing that has really helped me was doing a specific meditation on binge eating. So in this meditation, I would do it so often, pretty much every day. And I recorded this actually for myself before Superhuman was ever, or Mimi Method was ever conceived, because I broke this old pattern years ago. But this is when I was doing my little pep talks to myself. I also recorded like a binge eating one. So I would get myself, I've recreated it now, so it's also on Superhuman, but it's just a different version that's more specific to a whole, you know, the whole world, not just me, myself. So what I would do in this meditation, and this is for any bad habit you want to break, I would get myself to visualize, like deeply visualize, and my eyes are closed, I'm in meditation, visualizing something that's happening that triggers the response of wanting to overeat for myself. So whether I'm bored at home or feeling overwhelmed and stressed, and I just want to have a snack, or like I'm feeling really hungry because I haven't eaten all day or something, I visualize and I feel physically, you need to bring in the physical emotion into this. I physically feel like it's actually happening right now. And then in the meditation, I visualize myself saying no and choosing different, and then feeling the reward of self-control and discipline of not going to that old negative habit and pattern of overeating and binging. So I would go over that scenario in my mind as many times as I could until it was perfect. And I noticed that slowly, it didn't happen all at once, it wasn't a one-day epiphany, but slowly over the next 6 months or so, I would have a craving to binge. And then it started as like 10% of the time, then 20% of the time, I would think differently. And I was like, oh wait, it's because I practiced this. I practiced responding differently. And then over time, it ended up being 100% of the time. I actually cannot tell you the last time I overeat. I don't remember it, because it doesn't feel good to me anymore. It doesn't feel good to overeat and feel full and lethargic and just gross. It doesn't feel good. Just like I don't smoke. It's not something that like I'm repelled by it. The same thing with overeating. So, and I used to smoke when I would go out and party, and I remember the feeling of craving it. Like, I honestly don't even think I've told many people that. Like, I used to smoke out in London when I'd be going out and stuff. Like, why would I do that? It's so not what I do, you know? So with everything in life, it's you got to just change your mind around it first, so it becomes easy in the moment. And my self-image changed. I'm not the kind of person that diets, that thinks about food all day long. That's weird and boring. I'm not that kind of person. And I would just condition myself. That's not who I am. And I'm the kind of person that wakes up every morning and has a green juice and, you know, does my journaling and works out every day. Like, that's just who I am now. And I had to teach myself to be that person before it actually happened.
I want to touch on how you started changing your reactions when you would practice. And so I want to just get your thoughts on being reactionary. Do you think it's really important to learn to not react as much? Or do you have certain tools that help you get through those moments when you do feel very reactive and something triggers you and you want to push back on it? Do you feel like it's better to just keep moving and stay in your lane or to address things as they come to you? What are your thoughts on this?
It's a really great question. And when it comes to people, since I've been doing this work, I feel a lot more confident speaking my thoughts. And especially if it's someone that, you know, that I care about, like if Ben and I, my boyfriend, have a disagreement, like I'm not going to say nothing. We're going to talk about it. And not in a reactive way, though, really in a calm way. Like I'm really a lot better at speaking now since doing this work. It's weird. Like I used to be so not confident and really scared about what people thought of me. And I was never really myself fully. But now, since I've done all of this inner work and confidence work, I feel like I can appropriately speak my mind. So I wouldn't say I'm reactive anymore, but in someone who is reactive when it comes to relationships and who you're, you know, whether it's someone you work with or your partner, I think the best way to change that is to do the inner work, because I've noticed the people that I know in my life that are very reactive, it's because they're not feeling good about themselves and they are projecting due to a past insecurity or something. I think most people that are happy with themselves, they're okay with other people having a different opinion. They're okay with, you know, we could talk about social media, you know, the people that react incredibly in comments. I could honestly bet you thousands of dollars, millions of dollars that they are not happy, because what people say to you, say about you, it has nothing to do with you, has everything to do with them. Even if I massively disagreed with someone, I'm not going to go out of my way to try to convince them that they're wrong. You know, someone I really love and there's something important, like I'll bring it up in a very different way. But I think, yeah, when you realize what other people do has nothing to do with you, you don't react as much. You're kind of just like, it's not worth my energy, you know?
Yeah, that's so true. That's what I learned in that book. What is it called? Damn it, I forgot the name, but it was like, don't take anything personally. Kylie, do you remember the name of that book? What was it called?
I know, it's on the tip of my tongue too, because you just told me about it.
The Four
Agreements.
The Four exactly. Agreements, yeah. And they're like, yes. Don't take anything personally, then nothing can affect you. No one's negativity will affect you because you don't believe in it. But are there any micro habits through this whole lifestyle change that stand out to you the most that have really impacted you? Like, what would you say are like maybe the top three micro habits?
Ooh, morning routine. Even if it's 15 minutes, like don't look at your phone. I guess this micro habit has a lot of micro habits within it, but don't look at your phone first thing in the morning. I still sometimes will do it. And I notice right away that I am not my best self that day. And you just got to stop. You have to just wake up a little bit earlier. If the moment you wake up, you need to check emails and stuff, just wake up 20 minutes earlier and condition yourself to feel how you want to feel in the mornings, because that's going to tread on for the rest of your day. I always say this, a quote that I created: your mornings create your days create your weeks create your months become your years are your whole life. So the tiny things that you do in the morning, it's like the domino effect. It's going to influence everything and it's going to become your whole life. So do a morning routine, even if it's 10, 15 minutes, just put pen to paper, say like, write how you're feeling, write what you need to do that day, get clear and feel motivated and force yourself to, because it doesn't come naturally. If you wait around for motivation, you're never going to get anywhere. You got to condition yourself. The second micro habit obviously is meditating. I'm very passionate about it because it's changed my life. It's not just because it's my business. It has changed my life. And there's a reason why I literally have a 3% churn on my app. It's because it's changed many people's lives as well. Churn means unsubscribes, which is very rare for a platform.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, like it works. And it can change your life more than anything. It really is like self-therapy. You know, I have coaches, I've been to therapy, saying from personal experience, this has helped me more than therapy. And so a lot of people say the same. And, you know, once you take your life into your own hands and decide with emotion that's when things start to change. So doing a meditation, and even if you're scared of sitting down and meditating and still not familiar to you, so many people get my app and just do the walking meditations. It's like epic music, you know, fun words that you're listening to, you feel good. And it's like very easy to get into. So just start with that. That's the second micro habit. The third I would say is less time in front of a screen. That's actually one of the ones that I think has affected my life tremendously recently. When you spend less time on social media, on your computer, in front of the TV, you give yourself room to think more and come up with new ideas that could change your life. And you get familiar with yourself. So that's the third one I think I would say today.
They're so incredible. Well, I want to talk about island life. I want to hear all about your transition to island life, because I know this is a dream for so many people. I know so many of my friends have definitely said, I'd love to live on an island someday, want a house here. I want that life. So how is it? And is it everything you always dreamed it to be? Do you think you'll be there forever? Give us the juice on island life.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I never thought I was the kind of person that would live in the Bahamas. Like, if you told me this even 3 years ago, I would have said, that's insane. I'm a city girl. I was born and raised in a city. I lived in a city, but the move here was a pretty last minute one. Ben and I decided when COVID hit, we really didn't like being in Vancouver. And we were like, okay, why don't we move somewhere crazy just during COVID, and decided just the Bahamas. I have some family here. It's close by. And it's great for business purposes as well. We both have our own online businesses, and it's a really great way to grow your business too, because they have really great laws when it comes to that. And so we were like, okay, let's just do it. So we moved on a whim. It was a very last minute, random, fun decision we made. And we decided that when we got here that we loved it. And it was just unlike anything I ever thought it could be. We thought we weren't going to have many friends. We thought we'd have to be traveling a lot because, you know, it's kind of like, who was going to be there? Like, there is no cool restaurants. Like, you know, we had no idea. We actually moved there without ever visiting.
Oh my God, that's brave.
I know. So we get here and it's just like, we're in love. We love it. We have a beautiful apartment by the water. Like, we've met so many people. My social life here is better than when I lived in London. It's the right kind of people. We have the same views about life. We do really fun things. Like, you know, we'll take out a boat, like our friend's boat, and they'll go spearfishing and they'll catch fresh snapper. And then we'll go to an island, a deserted island, and like make a fire from like the wood on the land. And then like cook the fish and sit on the beach, like enjoy it. And then that night we'll go to like Nobu. You know what I mean? So it's like that beautiful balance of like completely nature roughing it. And then going to a beautiful hotel or restaurant. There are so many cool places here to go. And yeah, it's really amazing. Like, we love it. I think we'll have a home here forever. But Ben and I don't really want to live like the conventional life of having one place your whole life. We want to have a few homes in our favorite places around the world. That's our big next goal. So it's been great though. And I highly suggest it to anyone that is considering it. Being in a city, we went to London all summer, all of July and August this year, to like visit friends and family and just to see how we like it now after being on an island for so long. And it was just very different to what we expected. We actually really didn't like it. And it was so loud. Wow. And like the air quality is gross. Like, I didn't feel healthy there. Like, there was no nature. Like, I really have shifted very quickly to being more of an island girl. So
yeah, I mean, like, I've spent the last year in the Seychelles, which is like completely isolated and the most beautiful place I've ever been in the world. But I guess what's good about the Bahamas is that it is so close to the US, and so it feels a little bit more familiar and everyone goes there. So it's like a great place to socialize and live the island life. But there is definitely something about living on an island that just connects you more with nature and makes you want to be a better version of you. Like, all my healthy habits come back as soon as I get back to the Seychelles. I want to do yoga every morning. I want to breathe in the air and take in the sun. It's like a completely different mindset as soon as you reach the island life. So I totally feel you there. But we got your three best micro habits, but what are three products or gadgets that you just couldn't live without?
Oh, okay. Products or gadgets. My notebook, my journal. That's one. I guess I can also say like my app, because I actually personally use it many times a day. And I love like my greens powder in the morning. I love this water bottle I always use with like this silicone straw. This
oh my is God, I love the silicone straws.
Yeah, they make you drink so much water. So this brand is Takea water bottles. And I love it. I just bought these straws on Amazon, both on Amazon. I love this. I drink so much water with it. My greens powder I have every morning. It's really changed the game for me since I quit coffee. And it's from Organifi. And they're actually a sponsor of the podcast, but actually use their products every day. So
amazing.
So I use that. I'm simple otherwise.
Any skincare products that you're obsessed with?
Oh yeah. I love Three Ships Beauty. I like Image Skincare. I like Radford Beauty. Their masks are amazing, but I'm very simple. I'm not like, funny enough, I know I look like a girly girl, but I actually like, I don't care that much about skincare and beauty stuff. Like I do gua sha. I do my ice roller in the morning, which is very helpful for puffing, but I try to keep it simple. When my skin breaks out, I actually don't put any products on my face and sleep with nothing on my face. Changing your pillowcase. I recently got the Dyson Airwrap and I'm obsessed.
Ah, I really want to try this.
I've been seeing it everywhere.
Okay. I was seeing it everywhere, but oh my God, this is day three.
Yeah, I was about to say, is this your hair right now? Wow.
This is day three. Yeah, it looks so fresh.
Okay. On my Christmas list.
It feels like a blowout at home and it takes 10 minutes. It's amazing.
Influenced. Amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, Mimi, we know you are an encyclopedia of knowledge and there's only so much we can dive into in one podcast interview. Will you let our listeners know where they can find you on social media, where they can find your apps, all of the good, so they know where to come and find you?
Absolutely. So my Instagram is at Mimi Bouchard, my name, and Superhuman, you can just go to www.superhuman.app. And that's the website for the app. And you can learn more about it, see a free meditation and learn more about what it is. You can also just get the app on the App Store or Google Play and just type in Superhuman and it'll come up. And yeah, other than that, I mostly hang out on Instagram. I have my own podcast. It's just called Mimi, M-I-M-I. And that's that. Thank you guys so much for having me on. This was such a nice combo.
Thank you. It was so nice to have you. This has been so insightful. And I'm so excited to get everyone over to your app and try out all these amazing life hacks. So thank you so much for coming on here today.
Thank you.
All right, we have reached our Q&A where our lovely listeners submit their questions to our Instagram page and we answer them for you guys live on the show. Here we go. So the first question submitted that we chose this week, what is your best tips to avoid constant snacking throughout the day?
I would say for me, liquids, like especially coffee. Coffee is like such a strong appetite suppressant for me. Like if I don't want a snack, I'll go and have a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. Anything with caffeine in it is my number one tip for stopping snacking. And also just like drinking lots of water, like that fills me up, makes me feel better. And then I don't really get the craving so much. So for me, it's all about the fluids. What about you?
Well, for me, I would say if you're noticing that you're snacking all day long, there's two things going on here. Maybe one, maybe you're bored. Maybe you are sitting around a little bit and you have more time on your hands. So you're thinking about food more often. Or two, maybe your meals aren't big enough. Maybe you're really hungry still and you're eating small meals. And so of course you're snacking because you're hungry. So I would say if this is a problem you're dealing with, eat bigger meals. I think that will help you in so many ways. And if that doesn't help, then maybe pay attention to your habits and how you're spending your time because boredom will definitely lead to snacking.
Yeah, 100% agree with that. All right, question number two, what are you currently watching on Netflix or Hulu, etc.?
Ooh, okay. So I just finished Squid Games.
Oh, you
Mind
did?
Blown.
What is this? I'm seeing it everywhere.
Okay. So everyone's watching it, which is why I had to watch it. Mm-hmm. And it is fascinating. I binged it, but I have to say I did not feel great after it. It is not like a light, uplifting show in any sense. It's just a heavy watch and crazy stuff is going on and it's not good crazy. It's just bad crazy. So you should watch it because you want to understand what everyone else is talking about, but it's definitely not the biggest booster. But I also just started Made on Netflix. It was actually recommended to me by my TV after I finished Squid Games and it's really good and it's really humbling. It literally makes you appreciate what you have. It's about a young mom who left her abusive husband and is just trying to make it in the world. And it makes you realize that our problems are not as big as they could be. So that's definitely a good one that maybe will help give you good perspective after watching the darkness that comes in Squid Games.
Both of those are on my list to watch. And I'm finishing watching Peaky Blinders right now. And also, I need someone to talk to me about this movie called The Nightingale, because I watched it on Hulu and I am fucked up from it. It was so dark. And I don't know anyone else who's watched it, and I need to talk about it with someone. So if anyone's seen this movie, please message me, because I need to talk about this. I need to go to therapy or something after it. It was dark, but it was an insanely good film.
Someone reach out to my girl. She needs an ear. All right, guys. Well, that's it for this episode. We love you guys. We appreciate all of your support. And if you want to support us just a little bit more, a review and rating on Apple Podcasts goes so far, and we would appreciate it so very much.
Yes. And you guys know where to find us by now. On Instagram, we are on there at the Not So Simple Life Podcast. So if you have any questions or queries, head on over there and drop a message in our DMs, and we'll be more than happy to respond to you guys. But until then, we will see you guys next Tuesday with a brand new episode.